Have you watched more of True Detective?
No.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
I'm Clipping. Today, we're in your shop. It's a rainy San Francisco. Was it Monday?
It is Monday, and it has been raining a lot, which is absolutely fantastic because it's very, very needed. Our reservoirs up here are at 17 or 18% capacity.
I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to flush the toilet and water the lawn this summer.
Yeah, it's exactly. Very exciting. I'd like to take a bath someday.
Yeah. Again. Maybe if we make it through, guys.
I do shower. I prefer baths, but I haven't been taking them during
the drought. Is that a generational thing? Because no one I know.
Oh, I love a bath.
It could be a generational thing.
It could be. Maybe you just don't know yet how good baths actually are.
You put the Kindle in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, have you actually done that?
The best waterproof case for the Kindle. You put the bubbles
in
there.
Vacuum seal your Kindle.
That is hilarious. Yeah,
of course you do.
You can sous vide that.
Yeah.
Why not? So it is a rainy day. It is, I've been recovering.
Yeah, you went under the knife. There's different levels of under the knife. There's like wisdom teeth out.
Right.
There's open heart surgery.
those
are on two different ends of the scale.
Two different extremes.
Yeah.
I was somewhere solidly towards the less invasive portion. But
okay.
It's known that I have hearing loss. I wear hearing aids. This is one I just got a brand new pair of these beautiful little ones here.
And hearing aid, just to be clear, hearing aid technology, I apologize for cutting off.
No,
hearing aid technology, my father has a hearing problem, and it has been fascinating watching that change over the last 12 to 15 years.
I've had hearing aids for 7 years now, 8 years. And this is my third set.
Mm-hmm.
And the improvement from each set to its successor was easily 100%.
Well, because the thing that I didn't realize until Dad started down that path was that they're, at least in the old days, especially, they were completely, they amplify everything. So when we would go to a restaurant or something like that, even with an expensive in-ear hearing
it's very
aid,
difficult for them to prioritize.
So it's impossible. It was impossible for them to have a conversation. Yeah.
And your brain does a lot of that on the fly. It actually reveals to you how impressive an interpretation machine your brain is about sound.
So basically it has a microphone picking up sound, and the old ones just amplify that and plug it in as earbuds.
Yes. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So these actually are more advanced. They actually can go through different modes where they can focus only on somebody you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
They work together. The two hearing aids communicate with each other. Now, the reason I wear hearing aids, and everyone wonders this, is not because of the explosions or heavy tool use.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about
so
this.
I'm here to answer them. My hearing loss is from a congenital condition in which my eustachian tubes don't work. Your eustachian tubes are the extra pressure regulator you have inside your sinuses that if you're on an elevator and your ears are popping and you blow, you're actually moving air through your station tubes in order to equalize the pressure in your head.
So does that mean you can't scuba dive and stuff like that?
No, actually, the way in which my eustachian tubes don't work is on the other end. I'm amazing at scuba diving because I can regulate the pressure in my head without doing this. I can do it internally.
Okay.
Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing unless you're like me, and as a kid, I preferred a slightly negative pressure in my head, which means that I was always stretching my eardrums. And by the time I finally got them looked at about 8-9 years ago, they had actually, this is kind of gross, but they had sort of filled my inner ear cavity. So picture your eardrum is a balloon membrane. That's a really good analogy. Now picture blowing on that membrane and it fills the cavity it's out in front
of. So you stretched it out.
I stretched it out and distended it. And it also got, if you get an ear infection in your ear, you got to use eardrops because your eardrum is avascular. That means antibiotics that you take from orally don't actually get to your eardrums because there's no vessels, no capillaries to carry the antibiotics out. So when you have distended folded eardrums like I had, they get infections and you get bacteria in the folds and there's just no way you can get to them.
Wow.
Now, this can be a problem because it can lead to, obviously you can have hearing loss. But if you get an infection that gets all the way inside your brain, you can have meningitis, you can have partial facial paralysis. Cause it turns out actually that all the nerves for your face, your tongue, your expressions run through this trunk that are your ears.
Well, it turns out stick Q-tips in there.
What's that?
It's why you shouldn't stick Q-tips in there. Yes. That's what we all do.
So, in addition to the chronic infections, I also had lost my what's called the acicular chain, the hammer anvil stirrup bones that help transmit the sound from your eardrum to your oral nervous system. Interestingly enough, I believe Penn Jillette suffers from the exact same condition.
Really?
He also had the same operation I did. So about a few years ago, I had the first set of operations on this ear, which was a rebuilding of the eardrum or a tympanoplasty.
Ooh, is it? Do you have the eardrum of a 22-year-old now?
And then
so supple and
they
full.
Put in a prosthesis of the acicular chain, a little titanium hammer anvil stirrup. Now, that didn't last. That they also cleaned up inside my left ear, and that was really awesome that they did that. But we had to wait a while just to make sure that the operation took, that their infection was gone and totally. So when my ear doctor, who incidentally enough, if you're an avid watcher of Mythbusters, you would know his name is Dr. Larry Lustig, and he helped us out during our earwax candle episode. It was him that saved earwax for 6 months to see if we could make a candle. Still the most disgusting episode we've ever filmed.
Who molded the candle?
Cary Grant and Tori did it. And I think there were at least two people throwing up, if not more, during the course of the
episode. I'm not squeamish about that sounds terrible.
The smell was overpowering. So
I bet you didn't think we were going to talk about this today.
So Dr. Lustig is a genius, and he took a look at my ear late last year and said, it looks great. We're going to start working on this ear. But here's the thing. When you have this operation, it's not necessarily to improve your hearing. It is merely to stop a bad situation from getting worse.
Right.
Now, they are always making advances in improving hearing, but again, that's not the primary goal. So when I had the operation on this ear, it went from being my good ear to my bad ear.
Mm.
That meant that my right ear was my good ear. Now, it was time to work on this ear, but I've been delaying that operation because I don't want my good ear to now become worse than my...
Right.
Like, honestly, when I don't have my hearing aids in, I start to get panicked because I can't hear anything, and it's the world gets very small very quickly.
Is it the same feeling? I don't know how bad your vision is, but like, I get the same feeling when I don't have my glasses. When I worry that I might break my glasses and I don't have a spare pair of glasses or contacts.
Add to that a whole nother sense. So when I wake up in the middle of the night, like a kid comes to the room, I'm like, hold on a minute. I got to put stuff on my face and strap it to my head and wait for it to, I mean, it's a whole thing. It's awful.
When you were first learning that you had the hear loss, what was the thing that prompted you to go get
I had suffered ear infections for a while, and I knew that things weren't awesome in there, and I wanted to get it checked out because early on in Mythbusters, they wanted me to go get scuba certified, and I wanted to get my ears checked out before I subjected them to underwater stuff because I knew they were very sensitive to water.
Right, right.
And that's when I uncovered this whole thing. Anyway, this long story comes to a close in that Dr. Lustig said, well, it's my policy not to operate on the good ear. So let's operate on your bad ear because it looks like it took the operation well. I can do a second tympanoplasty. I can go right through the ear because the first time they did the operation, by the way, they actually put a slice behind and pull the
peel it back
off your head and work inside.
I didn't want to know
that. It's like when they do nasal surgery, right? Yeah. They cut you up under your gums and then peel your head back.
Nope.
So this time they went in through the ear. They rebuilt the acicular chain, gave me a new eardrum, put some cartilage in there from the little horny thing on the in my ear there, little bit. And
so you just shaved cartilage?
And so that was Friday. I was home I went to the hospital at 11. I was home by 4.
General anesthesia?
General anesthesia, okay. Which is really rough. Really rough. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't like painkillers, and having propofol and the Vicodin and all that stuff coursing through the system, it was really rough. I had a very rough weekend.
When I had my appendix out last year, my wife was in the recovery room when I was waking up, and she said she found out all sorts of super fascinating things about me under the lingering. I have no memory of any conversation until I ended up woke up in the hotel room. I mean, in the hospital room an hour after she and I were talking.
Yeah. The kidneys were gone.
Most expensive hotel room ever.
Yes. Oh. So I am now in the phase of just the pain, the post-operative pain, very minimal. Mm-hmm. I only took one Vicodin late night of the first night I came home. Thank goodness. 'Cause I can't stand that stuff. It's no good.
It should only be used recreationally.
Itchy and no. It actually, you should never.
It plugs me up and it leaves me groggy and I don't want any of that. I was cranky all weekend. I was really. My family will attest. I was a bit of a jerk this weekend, and I kept on saying, "I'm sorry, I'm a jerk," and then just going to be a jerk by myself.
Those things. There's a whole host of things there that affect your general good nature.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, I'm going to see Dr. Lustig tomorrow. He's going to pull the wadding out, and apparently. This should radically improve the hearing in my left ear and make it my good ear. And then we can go right back into working on.
So you'll immediately, it's not something that you have to wait 3 months and keep coming back for checks. You should notice a difference.
I should notice a difference quite.
I like his policy of not operating on your good ear.
I really do too. And I was afraid to tell him why I'd been delaying the operation. And so, you know, it's having your head operated on is really, it's a scary prospect. And general, just, it's all I've been under general anesthesia 3 times and each time it has kicked my ass in a completely different way.
It's just a very unsettling, like if you've had dental anesthesia or something like that, which is a completely different thing, they'll still make you go to sleep.
Yeah, but
it's a different kind of sleepy.
My dentist is a genius with that stuff.
Yeah. Like the wake up, the turn off the light is super unsettling to me. I really don't like it. I totally get not being into general anesthesia.
I have a great story about this. James Randi told me this story. James Randi had cancer a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and he had to go through a certain type of chemo in which they put you under general for a very short period of time. It's apparently, I don't know exactly the details of it, but it allows them to guide the poison right to where they want.
Great.
So the nurse, and you know, Randy's got that beautiful sonorous voice, but he's a little old man, right? He's on the gurney, and the nurse says, "So what do you do?" And he says, "Well, I'm a magician." You know, he's been a famous magician for 6 decades, right? I'm a magician. She says, "Oh, you're a magician." She says, "I got a magic trick for you."
Oh no.
Yeah. This is great. So they were in the preoperative room where they were just taking his vitals, right? So he's lying on the table. She's taking his vitals. She says, "Here's what I want you to do." And she put the IV in. She'd been taking his vitals. She says, "I want you to close your eyes and count backwards from 10. So he closed his eyes. 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He opens his eyes and he totally jumps because he's in the recovery room.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the best magic
he was
trick
like,
ever.
"What? What did you do? What alchemy
you stole
woman?"
My time.
But that's it. And then all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, my stomach hurts."
Well,
this
she
is
said,
bad.
Yeah, she said that she had learned through long experience. She watched his eyes flutter and logged the number that they started fluttering at. Remembered that number. And then as they were bringing him back out of anesthesia, she saw the eyes flutter again and started counting from there. So to him, there was no break. He said, "Full stop." One of the greatest magic tricks that's ever been performed on him.
Well, anesthesiologists have a wicked sense of humor. Usually, we have a friend who's an anesthesiologist, and she's they go to dark places.
Well, there is no way to soft pedal it. Anesthesia is the practice of bringing people to the edge of death and holding them there carefully while you do terrible things to them. I mean, you know,
That's about it.
The mechanics of what doctors do, especially doctors like my Dr. Lustig, right? He's an incredibly skilled mechanic, and that is the forefront of what medicine is really good at, the mechanics of the body, and it's incredible what they do.
And he's operating on something the size of a dime.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But the fact is—
Through a straw.
You've seen operations. They're not incredibly gentle. So you wake up, even though I was not present for the operation, it was clear when I woke up that someone had been punching me in the face for hours.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Not this time. This time it was very much more minor, but still it is it's brutal.
I got a question about your hearing aids. Yeah. Having used them for almost a decade now, has it changed your perception of your understanding of people who use hearing aids? Like we were talking before, a little bit of a stigma.
I don't understand a stigma for hearing aids. I think that if you think you're hard of hearing, I will tell you, please go get checked, because hearing aids changed my life. They saved my marriage. Honestly, I couldn't believe each new version I've gotten. I couldn't believe what I wasn't hearing before.
Well, it's it's having a stigma about that. And speaking as somebody who was a kid, my father got hearing aids when I was almost ready to graduate from college. I mean, from high school. And it made it, we were able to communicate.
Right.
Like it was communicating with him. And I love him to death, was the most frustrating experience.
Yes.
And it was constant. There was no, the only way you could have a talk with him that he could hear what you were saying before he got the hearing aids was by yelling
right.
from about, and he didn't have bad hearing loss. It was just in a specific register
right.
where my voice lives.
Yeah. And that can be real trouble. My hearing loss is also in that register, in the low register, which is conversational.
Yeah.
And that actually also turns out to be one of the most difficult registers for hearing aids to replicate since normal damage will get rid of the high end.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing aids have no problem with that stuff. What I have learned a couple things, and I will tell you, if you know someone who has even some minor hearing loss and you are talking to them and they say what? So let's say you say something like,
wait, I say what all the time.
Well, let me just put it this way. You say, I put the book on the fridge.
What?
And they say what? And you go, I put the book on the fridge.
What?
You are doing the wrong thing by repeating what you said precisely as you said it before.
Oh, right.
Because the moment I can't perceive what you say, I now have aphasia. I've already run a scan analysis on what I heard, and I can't get anything from it. So if you say it in the same way again, all I'm getting is the same crappy signal. I put the book on the fridge. Put the book on the fridge.
That sounds like a really good advice for communicating in general.
Yes. So if someone says what, stop and go, I put the book on the fridge. Say it in a different cadence and a different register. You will get so, I tell you, once my family learned to do this, we all got along so much better. And now with my new hearing aids, I mean, I'll tell you the second set I got, about 3 days into having the new hearing aids, Julia goes, okay, you're freaking me out. How come you are sneaking around the house? And I'm like, I'm not sneaking around the house. She's like, you are moving quietly like a ninja. And I'm like, no, I'm not on purpose. I've only just realized how noisy I actually am when I move around the house. And she's like, well, that's okay.
It's all relative.
You know, me like Harry and the Hendersons around the...
Well, just go get checked. It makes a big difference for... It's not just you, it's your family.
Now, there's also, I will say, I have a bone to pick with hearing aid companies. Now, the processor in this... is an incredibly advanced piece of technology. Mm-hmm. It is still not worth what they charge for.
Oh, that, yeah.
But that is actually, we understand that about medical hardware. More than that, this thing has all sorts of modes that you can't unlock unless you're sitting with your audiologist in a dampened, quieted room. So if you go to a bar and you can't hear, you got to go make an appointment with your audiologist a week later and go sit down and say, last week in a bar, I had a problem. And she says, well, let's see if we can solve it. She turns some dials and adjusts the parameters on this. And then a week later, you go to a bar and hope that it worked. This is a terrible system.
You say it's ripe for disruption.
I rail against this system, especially since I have an antenna for these that can connect them up to Bluetooth. So why can't I activate those modes on my phone? I recognize they don't want non-medical professionals doing non-medical or medical type adjustments on hardware, but you can actually give me a bandwidth of control, like changing from the 360 degree sound mode to the short bulleted where my mm-hmm. face is pointing.
Or give
sound
you a
mode.
Dial that you can
give
use until the
so
sounds
can,
that you don't
yes,
want go away.
Exactly. Yeah. This is, it's crazy to me that these companies are charging thousands and thousands of dollars for these things and don't give me the ability to adjust them. It's a
just
system
to be clear,
ripe for hacking.
Thousands and thousands of dollars is a lot for that too.
Yes. No, I mean, I recognize. Like, look, I make good money right now. I bought the best hearing aids I possibly could. That was,
yeah.
I'm the luxury of doing that right now. And they don't all cost that much. There are a lot of cheaper options, but you know, it's even with those cheaper options, activating those modes should absolutely be a smartphone moment because we could all live a lot better that way.
We have the software.
Yes.
The software is there, the tools there.
We totally do.
Do you use the fancy Bluetooth modes that you hook your phone into and use it for conference calling and all that stuff, or not so much?
I have all that material. I have started to use it a little bit. It is somewhat problematic. For instance, it doesn't work in the car because it doesn't close down the hearing aid channel. It allows you to still hear the world while you're on the phone.
That's probably a good thing.
It is. I agree with that. But I prefer the Apple in-ear buds for hearing when I'm doing hands-free in the car. I also have, and I have yet to you know, I'm old now, so we don't go out as much, but I have a lavalier microphone that connects with Bluetooth to the thing necklace that I wear to the these. So if I'm in a noisy restaurant with my wife, I can clip it on her and hear her directly.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
These all sound like superpowers.
They do. And so again, they're doing really cool stuff with hearing aids. They just need to open it up and let my phone start to work.
Well, and more than glasses and contacts and stuff like that, vision impairment, because this is hardware and software, like there's such an opportunity to give you superpowers.
There is.
There's no reason not to. So that's, I'm sure there are reasons not to,
and I'm sure we'll hear about some of them, but look at, there should not be any stigma about hearing aids. I have never hidden the fact that I wear them. Yes, in the middle of the night, I will admit, is the oldest I feel when I have to take, it takes me a full like minute to get up and running because of all the devices I have to stick on and in my head. That is definitely the moment at which I feel old.
You're just augmented, man.
I am. And I really appreciate that. You know, look, I got rid of contact lenses years ago. Because to me, they're not survival oriented. I lose one in the field and I'm screwed. But glasses, you know, I have many pairs at any given point, so I never run out. And I, you know, right. If I lose one, I can replace.
And they give a little protection too.
They do. They absolutely do. But if you think you have hearing loss, or if you know someone who has hearing loss, go get them checked. It really will radically improve your life immediately.
It's inexpensive. There's a lot of clinics that will do free screenings to at least let you know where you stand. A lot of times people go get their hearing checked and it turns out they just have something like wax buildup. And the problem is a 5-minute fix. The doctor gets something horrible out of your ear and everything's cool.
Totally.
So yeah, highly recommend it.
I've never fully told the whole story of my ears. There is everything you never wanted to know.
And
the
we got
story of my ears.
Horrifying glimpses at ear candles.
Still crazy after all these years.
If you want to support the podcast, you can subscribe to us. That's always a good thing to do. You can leave a comment or review on iTunes, rate us,
post
a comment on the YouTube channel. We also have premium memberships where we post all sorts of exciting behind the scenes, raw video, stuff that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yep.
And you can find out about that at tested.com/premium. What else? What am I forgetting? Is that everything? Is that all the stuff we plug at the end here?
Yeah.
So that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.